It started with a seemingly ordinary decision. Running late for a flight, Kim Brooks left her 4-year-old son buckled in the car for 5 minutes while she dashed into a store. Someone recorded her, reported her to police, and thus began a 2-year legal nightmare that would force her to question not just her own parenting choices, but America's entire culture of parental fear. What struck Brooks most wasn't the legal consequences, but the overwhelming shame she felt, that visceral feeling that she'd been caught doing something terrible, even though she couldn't fully articulate why leaving her child safely in a car for minutes was considered dangerous. The incident cracked the facade she had carefully constructed as a mother who always had the right answers and the latest research. For the first time, she couldn't bring herself to discuss her parenting with other parents, which made her wonder, why do parents judge rather than support each other? What if our obsession with safety and our culture of fear is actually harming both parents and children? Modern American mothers spend more time with their children than ever before, despite most working outside the home. Parenting has transformed from a natural part of life into an active, measurable, competitive thing with an infinitely expanding job description. Brooks realized this shift during her first prenatal checkup when asked what kind of pregnancy she wanted, revealing parenthood wasn't just an experience, but a performance where preferences could be imposed. Reproduction suddenly seemed dangerous, with the human embryo portrayed as vulnerable in a hostile environment. At a dinner with friends, Brooks observed how different parenting approaches created tension. Some parents used screens to occupy children while waiting for food, others brought activities, while some expected children to participate in conversations. Everyone felt judged, wondering who was doing it right. Yet the cardinal rule of this parenting competition is that nobody admits to competing. We smile and say there's no single right way while silently judging each other. This dynamic destroyed Brooke's friendship when she confided about what happened in Virginia. Instead of empathy, her friend grew uncomfortable, finally saying, "I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't." Their relationship never recovered. The underlying competitiveness became impossible to ignore. From baby sign language to Mommy and Me classes, Brooks participated in the madness of modern parenting anxiety. The more she bought and did, the more there seemed to be to buy or do, fear feeding on itself in an accelerating arms race of parental devotion. Sociologist Joel Best identifies a significant social movement that began in the 60s based on the premise that children need protection. Throughout history, parental fears rarely corresponded to actual dangers children faced, correlating less to real risk than to parents' perceived ability to control outcomes. After her arrest, Brooks discovered numerous stories of parents, usually mothers, arrested for letting children wait in cars during quick errands, play in parks alone, or walk to soccer practice. One mother admitted she couldn't let her teenage children out of sight in stores, not from fear of danger, but because, "I worry that if I let them out of my sight, other people will see us and think I'm doing something wrong." Cognitive scientist Barbara Czarnecka's research revealed that moral judgments about parents' reasons directly affected perceptions of danger. When a parent left a child to meet a lover, participants rated the danger higher than when identical circumstances resulted from an accident. Czarnecka concluded, "People don't think that leaving children alone is dangerous and therefore immoral. They think it is immoral and therefore dangerous." Brooks endured nearly a year of anxiety before learning of criminal charges against her. When an officer called about an arrest warrant, the prosecutor offered to drop charges if she completed community service and parenting education. Her lawyer cautioned that fighting the charges might risk losing custody. At the jail, Brooks' privilege became apparent when an officer simply verified her information and suggested she wear something nice to court, while other families faced harsher treatment. This criminalization of parenthood disproportionately affects poor parents and parents of color. Without subsidized childcare, family leave, or universal preschool, making it a crime to take your eyes off your children effectively criminalizes poverty. As legal expert David Pimentel notes, if you make it a crime to leave a child out of your sight, then you're basically saying that poor people can't be parents. During a rare child-free dinner with childless women, Brooks felt like a creature from outer space. Their conversations flowed without the urgency she'd grown accustomed to. For 6 years, she'd accepted her transformation to mom as inevitable. As Heather Havrileski noted, motherhood has been elevated, or perhaps demoted, to the realm of lifestyle, an all-encompassing identity with demands that eclipse everything else in a woman's life. Judith Warner contrasts this with France, where even stay-at-home mothers maintain boundaries between adult and child life. Today's parents face overwhelming challenges beyond individual control: failing schools, vanishing middle class, climate change, expensive healthcare. Unable to impact these large-scale problems, we tighten our grip on what seems controllable, our children's immediate safety, creating what Frank Furedi calls paranoid parenting. When everyone accepts that parenting requires total monitoring, you join without questioning. Brooke's anxiety expanded beyond fear of something bad happening to include fear of her own incompetence. As one experienced mother told her, the greatest cost of maternal fear is how it blots out joy. A former teacher observed that while parenting today is difficult, it's sure as hell a horrible time to be a kid. Today's children experience constant supervision and profound lack of freedom. Historian Stephen Mintz notes, children now spend more time in age-segregated institutions, have fewer adult interactions outside family, and experience dramatically less unstructured outdoor play. Developmental psychologist Barbara Sarnecka explained that children develop self-efficacy through having control over their time and taking reasonable risks. Modern children have little control over their lives. They're being raised like veal, she said, never allowed to develop independence. This overprotection likely contributes to the alarming rise in youth mental health issues, comparable to keeping children in wheelchairs to prevent falling, ultimately causing more harm than the dangers it aims to prevent. College counseling data reveals disturbing trends of overwhelming anxiety, depression, and inability to cope with challenges among overparented students. On a flight home, Brooks attempted flying without anti-anxiety medication for the first time in years. Watching her 8-year-old son trace clouds through the window, she realized she'd always claimed to not believe in flight, while her child embraced this miracle. Momentarily, her fear lifted. She was flying untethered, unafraid. That's when her son turned and said, "Mom, I want to be a pilot." Perhaps this is the ultimate lesson. Our children aren't fragile creatures needing constant protection, but resilient beings with their own dreams. The greatest gift we can give them isn't perfect safety, but the courage to face uncertainty with confidence and joy.